This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, the 12 DAs of Christmas rolls right along. Number 8, it's a long story. A conspiracy theory you've never heard of. Also, later on in the hour, as part of Soundcheck, Gio from Boomer and Gio on CBS Sports Network channels his inner DA yet again. The impersonation only keeps getting better and better. Next hour on the show, 1 hour from now, Ricky Williams will join us in studio. He is discussing his new idea for a brand new football league, the Freedom Football League. And next hour, also the voice of the Chicken Challenge, Jacob Wilkins, will join us from Las Vegas and the baseball winter meetings. He is trying to build his career. He wants to become a play-by-play man for a minor league baseball team. He's done play-by-play of such epic events here on the DA Show as the Wienership Challenge and the Chicken Challenge. And so now he's trying to expand that resume, build his career. So he's going to join us and discuss how those interviews are going as he tries to latch on with a professional team in its minor league organization. So a very serious spot coming from the baseball winter meetings, of course. Forget where Bryce Harper and Manny Machado's are going to sign. Forget whether the Yankees find their pitching or not. This is all about whether Jacob Wilkins can make a transition into minor league baseball and call games for the Fireflies. So, last night, the Vikings stink. And the Seattle Seahawks end up expanding their lead for one of the wild card spots in the NFC. They move to 8-5, knowing that the Rams have won the division, will win the division and get one of the two byes. Saints and Rams look like locks for the top two seeds. The Seahawks will end up being a wild card. After that, though, in the NFC, it's a huge question. And the Vikings are at 6-6-1, and right now would be that sixth seed. Right now, if the playoffs began today, the Vikings would go to Chicago to take on the Bears in the 3-6 matchup. The Seahawks would travel to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. But are the Vikings going to hold on to this number six slot in the NFC playoffs? Because look at how bad Kirk Cousins played last night, and look at how bad overall Cousins of the Vikings are against winning competition. They are 0-5 this year against teams with winning records. And in fact, as I mentioned before, if the officials had done their job correctly, Clay Matthews never should have been flagged for a roughing the passer call, which would have never allowed the tie in the early season Vikings and Packers game, and the Vikings would be 6-7 instead of 6-6-1, and the Packers would be 6-7 as well, and they would all be bunched up for the number six slot in the NFC playoffs. Here's the other teams battling with the Vikings. The Vikings have a half-game lead over the Panthers, Eagles, and Washington. Now, the Panthers can't get out of their own way. I mean, the whole thing is falling apart, and I think Ron Rivera is going to get fired after the season. Washington is starting Mark Sanchez. And when Mark Sanchez ends up trailing by 40 points, they yank him to then bring in Jashashish. So, no, I don't think Washington's making the run tonight in 7 or 8 and 8. And I don't think the Carolina Panthers are as well. Which leaves me with the Eagles or Vikings. Now, the Eagles are only a half game back of the Vikings. So what's their final schedules look like? For Minnesota, home to the Dolphins. At Detroit, home to the Bears. Look, they could lose all three of those games, but they should be able to beat one or two of those squads, specifically the Dolphins and Lions, and then who knows, maybe the Bears have nothing to play for Week 17. That one is at home for Minnesota. So the Vikings could end up at 9-6-1. I doubt it. More than likely, they're 8-7-1, and they're probably the sixth seed in the NFC playoffs. For the Eagles, I think they've got a higher potential, but their schedule's tougher. They're in Los Angeles to take on the Rams this upcoming Sunday night, and then they're home to the Texans and finish up at Washington. The Texans and the Rams both feel like losses for the Eagles, which means that the Eagles are probably a 7-9 squad this year. It brings me to the Packers. The Packers are not quite dead yet. Perhaps with a new head coach in Joe Philbin, a little fresh lease on life. They beat the Falcons easily on Sunday, and their final three games are winnable. But it starts on Sunday at Chicago against the Bears. You've got to beat the Bears, and then after that, it's at the Jets, home to the Lions. The Packers could end up at 8-7-1. Could. But I think we're going to get, an 8-7-1 Vikings team that wins the tiebreakers and ends up as that sixth wild card, which is just so uninspired because, let's face it, the Vikings don't feel like a tough out for anybody after what we just saw last night and the fact that they can't beat a winning team and they will have to face, you know, a winning team. I know, Mraz, you've gone through all the permutations. I know you have tried all different types of mathematics and deep dive analysis on this, and you are still holding out hope for the impossible that the Giants at 8-8 end up getting that sixth seed in the playoffs.
Well, I am going to be laughed at until the bitter end. All I will tell you, and this is the hardest part, if the Giants win out based on all the permutations, they are going to be the sixth seed if they win out. It's almost as if they control their own destiny. That's how likely it is at the other losses we need to happen.
Give me this rundown again that you're holding out hope for the Giants going 8-8.
It's very simple. The Eagles need to lose 2 of 3. You just said yourself you believe they lose to the Rams and Texans.
Correct.
The Packers need to lose just one of their final three games.
And
just one.
In Chicago on Sunday.
Yes. Okay? You like the Bears Sunday?
I do.
The Vikings need to lose 2 of 3. This is where it gets tricky. They play the Bears the final week of the season. If you want to say the Bears beat them, maybe they're playing for seeding, whatever. You need the Vikings to lose to either the Lions or Dolphins. Are they going to do that? Seems tough, but who knows about the Dolphins after last week? And you know what? The Vikings, frankly, stink. Short week coming back. That was that. I did the Eagles. Hold on. I did the Vikings.
Panthers.
Oh, and the Panthers need to lose 2 of 3, and they play the Saints twice. If those happen and the Giants win their last three, which are tough, Titans, Colts, Cowboys, the Giants are your sixth seed. You're laughing because it sounds so improbable, but when you break down what needs to happen, you stop. And if you just stop for a second and take all of those at what they're worth and not the grand landscape of this, how could you tell me that that's not possible?
It's possible, but again, it comes down to the Giants having to win those three games.
Look, all I know is this week, if you get a Bear win over the Packers, if you get a Dolphin win over the Vikings, and you get the Panthers losing to the Saints, and the Giants go beat the Titans, all bets are off come week 16.
Sounds simple.
Yeah. The Giants were 1-7?
Were 1-7. They would become the first team ever at 1-7 to make the playoffs.
Would the Giants be dangerous at 8-8, considering they would have just gone 7-1 in the second half of the season?
That's the bit, and everybody's going to laugh and go, well, it was. So they go 8-8 and they go get loose. How could you say that? If they've won 7 of 8, they'd be one of the hottest teams in football. They won a Super Bowl at 9-7. They're riding the legs of Saquon Barkley. The offense has clicked. And if that scenario unfolded based on the Bears needing to win a couple of those games, they would play in Chicago wildcard weekend. Who did the Giants just beat 2 weeks ago? The Bears. Look out.
Yeah, but with Chase Daniel, not Trubisky.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Let me tell you something. I'm just saying. Now, the Giants could lose the Titans and lay a thud. If they get in the playoffs, Book your tickets for L.A. now.
Come on.
Divisional weekend, here we come.
Come on.
I know it's laughable.
Khalil Mack is going to turn Eli Manning into pudding.
I heard that 2 weeks ago. He didn't. Chad Wheeler shut him down. D.A., the 8-8 Giants, they're alive. They were 1-7. They're alive in Week 15.
Could you imagine Eli in frigid conditions at Soldier Field against that pass rush?
So what?
He'll wet himself on the first play.
And Mitchell Trubisky in his first playoff game is going to light up B.W. Webb and Janoris Jenkins? I find that hard to believe.
I trust Trubisky more than I trust Eli Manning in that spot.
But it'll be all in the legs of Saquon Barkley. He already gashed the Bears a week ago.
Come on.
This is big time here. We're alive. Bring on the Titans.
Senor Pantleg tweets on a Trash Tuesday, "Hey man, piggybacking up Mraz's gripe about fries, I want to trash spouses like mine who not only steal my fries but also finish half their meal, toss their dirty napkin on top of perfectly good food, and let the waiter take it away. I'm a man. I'll eat that food." I find that kind of gross. The napkin on top of food. I don't like it. I don't know. There's just something about that I don't like. Napkin on the plate. I don't know.
That is throwing in the white towel.
Maybe that's why I don't like it. It's a give up.
Yeah, it is a give up. It's a give up move. You're kneeling on the ball.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. First of all, nothing should ever. Just box it up.
And you paid for it. Right. Why throw it out?
And if you don't want to eat it, maybe you care about the calories. How about you box it up and give it to a homeless person?
That's right.
I would never. I would just finish it. But I'm saying if you know somebody more courteous than me.
Paul tweets, "D.A., same stuff happened to me at CVS. I bought one pack of 12-volt batteries. I got coupons for diapers and shampoo and 9 other things." Paul tweets, "I'm trashing the 3 fat idiots I saw at the Hamburg Festival of Lights wearing basketball shorts. You're not cool wearing shorts. It's 23 degrees out. Plus, you probably suck at basketball." Gym shorts in the winter are so stupid. If it's cold, stop. You're not a tough guy. Oh, wow, your knees aren't cold? What does that prove? Adam Ray tweets, "I'm trashing the NFC outside of the top 5. You may not like the Vikings in the second wildcard spot, but who's going to knock them out, especially since Carolina, Washington, Philadelphia, the others can't seem to put it together either. Hashtag can't get them out." Dilbert tweets, "D.A., you know, I was going to trash you for bad-mouthing the Bambino, but you know what? You right. Just beam me up." Look, the facts are stubborn on this one. I mean, Babe Ruth is the most dominant force in baseball history, but Adam Ottavino's right. If you put him in today's baseball, he ain't catching up to 100 miles an hour. And how many relievers are throwing that type of gas? Adam Ottavino says that he'd be hitting like 170. Maybe he's a 200 hitter. Gets a hold of a few, but he ain't hitting 60 home runs, I'll tell you that much. Lonnie tweets, "D.A., I'm trashing you, Mraz, and all those trashing Babe Ruth. Why don't you guys just trash Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, and Lou Gehrig while you're at it? Hashtag get you guys out." Look, it's tough here because while Babe Ruth is one of the greatest athletes ever, you know, he never faced an African-American pitcher. He never faces a Latin American pitcher, never faces a Latin or international pitcher. So no Japanese pitchers, no Korean pitchers, no Dominican pitchers, no Cuban pitchers. He also is playing in a 10-team league, I think it was, for most of his career, and he's not playing interleague. So it's only the same 9 opponents. And those pitching staffs don't go like 5 or 6 starters deep. They go like 2 or 3. And all of those starters don't have closers coming in at the end. They're usually going complete games. So Babe Ruth is playing against like the same 40 guys all season long. Maybe less. The same 20 guys.
And plus, Babe Ruth doesn't have that same physical structure as Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was a specimen compared to Babe Ruth.
Well, it's one of the greatest defensive players, arguably, ever, if he doesn't tear up his knee. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, these guys are multifaceted players. I mean, Babe Ruth is just getting up there with a gut swinging a stick. I mean, it's tough, I know. It doesn't sound good to trash Babe Ruth, but Ottavino's onto something here. When we come back, the 12 DAs of Christmas, number 8, it's a long story. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
DA, if you and I could sit and watch the 1978 World Series.
Yes!
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Anytime, any place, I will sit down with you and watch old games of yesteryear. Brian Kenny, 22 minutes past the hour. That goes for all of you listeners out there. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. I'll be posting to our Instagram stories some behind-the-scenes shots of last night's CBS corporate holiday party. Mraz was in quite a festive mood. We'll put it that way. Quite a festive mood.
Get me out of here.
Let's just say that there was a slide. It was like Clemson's locker room. There was a slide to enter the party where we were at. It was on the bottom basement floor of a two-story bar slash lounge slash sports bar, I suppose. And Mraz entered using the slide. And as he popped out of the slide, was shirtless.
Puffiness with sodium.
He entered the company holiday party without a shirt. And it's a Christmas miracle he didn't get stuck in that tube.
I technically did twice.
It was like an olive coming through a straw. I said, boy, you don't want to be doing that. You do not want to be doing that. So I will post video of that and some other hijinks from last night. Follow me on Instagram at Damon Amendo. By the way, Mraz, how you feeling today, big guy?
I am hurting. Nobody should ever have a company Christmas party on a Monday. Now, beggars can't be choosers because we never have one to begin with. My back hurts. My face hurts. My head hurts. I limped into work today, literally limping. I don't know how.
I don't understand at this point in time in your career, in your life, why you would get so aggressive drinking-wise at a holiday company party. To me, I had a couple of beers. I was good. You began the night with a shot of tequila.
I did. I don't know why. And honestly, I blame you partially.
Blame me.
Because here's the thought. We went into that thinking we were going to go for 1 hour and go to Hibachi.
Yes.
Okay. Just spoiler alert, I'll get to the end of the story. We never ended up at Hibachi.
Correct.
So I had the shot of tequila to start because I thought I would just have a couple drinks in the hour and that would give me a decent feel. And then I'd go eat my Hibachi and have shrimp flying in my mouth and then I'd calm down. Had I known you were going to stay the full 3 hours for the open bar, yeah, maybe I don't come out and hit that leadoff homer with the tequila.
Yeah.
Yes, I was a disaster.
Except that you started mixing as well. You went from tequila shots to, was it rum and Cokes?
Malibu and Diet Coke.
Malibu and Diet Coke. So sweet. So much sugar. And then you mixed in Coronas.
I did. If the Yankees had Harper, they're going to have Judge, Harper, and Stanton in the lineup. That's what I did to my body yesterday. Look, it was stupid. There's no doubt about it. I made stupid decisions. It's the story of my life. The only difference is, unlike Robbie's stupid decisions, I get to work. I'm here this morning.
I will give you credit. Both you guys showed up. Bilotti showed up. You showed up. Heller showed up. We were all at that holiday party. Bogish did not. I wonder if strategically he had this day off knowing that he was going to the holiday party last night.
He claims he didn't, that this just happened to be a day, but who takes a random
Tuesday?
Come on, Bogey. I'm not buying it. And we can only ask ourselves, was last night, Bogey was getting after a little bit, a prelude to the Body wedding that's coming up next week
correct,
as well?
Correct, yes, correct. Next Friday night, Pete the Body Bilotti has his wedding, and we'll all be there. And let me tell you, Bogish was an all-star last night. I had not seen Bogues get loose. The man can party.
As I said to you, Paul Allen was ready to be on the mic. Bogish is loose down the sideline.
He really was.
He could party. He was mixing it up. He was the mayor. Suddenly he knew everybody.
Yeah.
He kept doing the thing where he was getting sweaty hair and he was slicking his hair back. Bogish was all over the map yesterday.
He was conversational. He was talking to a lot of people. He was glad-handing, shaking hands. He was playing candlepin bowling against you. He was very good at that. He was having a few cocktails.
Okay.
He was, I give Bogues a lot of credit, man. That was an all-star performance from Bogish.
He was.
Enrique Agumbales.
Better than his update.
But it just would have been nice to see him here. A little.
That's companion. True.
Yeah. Bogish, I did get a text from Bogish after, I was a little out there late at night and I'd already taken my train home. Hey, can anybody meet me in Penn Station? bogus. I'm 45 minutes outside the city. I've already slept for a half an hour on the train.
What did he want to do at Penn Station?
I don't know, but I think he needed help getting home. So I don't know if he made it.
On a Trash Tuesday, BR tweets, DA, I'm trashing the use of the words look and listen as the lead of every sentence now. It doesn't matter if it's sports, politics, or Aunt Betty's peanut brittle recipe. I'm already looking at you, and I'm already listening.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Holly tweets, I can vouch for the guy who said he had a stinky sleigh ride. My extended family went on a sleigh ride, and the horses kept farting as well. My brother had to sit up front next to the driver, and he was trying to have a pleasant conversation, but it was so awkward. This sounds like a devastating turn of events in the holiday landscape. I mean, if you're trying to take a sleigh ride and the horses are stinking it up and their tails are fanning it in your face with the kids and the loved ones, don't do it. Just get off that sleigh ride immediately.
Rusty!
How did that happen?
Evan tweets, DA, I wonder if they're feeding the horses beefarino. I don't know what they're feeding them. But it's time for the 12 DAs of Christmas, boys and girls. We're at number 8.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, get 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
These two guys. Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
oh,
too.
Oh, I definitely would.
I am a big boy.
Mariah, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's a hair! What a ball of joy you are.
That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheer!
February 8th, we did a story on the air where legendary music record producer Quincy Jones, who produced the Thriller album, amongst many other hit records, had claimed in an article he knew who killed JFK. It led to number 8 on the 12 DAs of Christmas.
Number 8.
Did the mob help Kennedy win Illinois? Quincy said, we shouldn't talk about this publicly. Bilotti, are you believing?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think it happened. I think it was actually, my opinion would be, I think it was friendly fire.
Who's friendly fire?
One of the Secret Service agents.
You think one of the Secret Service agents shot from the book depository?
No. Accidentally, gun went off.
Accidentally? Why would he shoot? Why would one of
his... Not from up there. I'm saying like along the way. One of the other shots.
Why would he shoot at Kennedy's head?
It's a long theory that's been out there.
It's a long story? It's a long theory?
Who's been out? It's been out where?
I've never heard of
what
this theory.
What just happened? This is crazier than Quincy Jones.
Yeah, you're crazier than Quincy Jones.
Next, he's going to tell me Andrew Bogut is a great musician. Plays like Hendrix.
He is.
What are you laughing at, Bogut?
Oh, is my mic still on? Well, we're continuing to discuss the new JFK theory.
Well,
announced
I mean,
here on the
still
DA
theories
show.
Coming out 50 years later.
Yeah.
Antonio sure is a whack.
Call your friends. Here's the headline.
Here's the headline.
Give them all to this. This is history.
John Minko told about the new Secret Service theory around JFK's assassination.
Hey!
Whoa!
Wow!
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 Whoa!
Call your friends, folks.
Number 8 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. For those wondering, Bonar Menninger is a leading proponent of the theory. He's also a journalist. That Lee Harvey Oswald rattled off multiple shots of the motorcade and a Secret Service agent riding in a car behind the president grabbed his high-velocity rifle and returned fire. And when the car stopped suddenly, the theory holds, Agent George Hickey lost balance and accidentally discharged his weapon, and accidentally killed the president. Manager said it was entirely accidental. Unfortunately, fate intervened as the agent was attempting to do his job. That's what the theory that Bilotti is espousing there.
I think that's a very fair argument. It may not be true, but it's fair.
I just liked you describing it. Look, it's a long story.
Yes. A lot of steps.
A lot of steps to get there, yes. Quite a long story. The player of the week is brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Kyler Murray. He wins the Heisman, throwing for over 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, beating out Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama, Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State. Second straight year, Oklahoma has a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. He followed Baker Mayfield. Murray's next step, figuring out whether he's going to go to the NFL draft or honor his baseball contract with the A's. I think he should stick with baseball. He's 5'9", 5'10". I mean, I'm not a heightist, if you will. I know that Russell Wilson has gotten it done. Baker Mayfield's getting it done. But 5'9", and playing in that offense, transitioning to the NFL, that's a tough call for me. And also, you're not dealing with injuries. You're not dealing with all the crazy things that happen to quarterbacks, what scheme you get put in, what coach you have. You know, in baseball, you'll have a 20-year career and never have a concussion. You'll never have to deal with that type of scrutiny. You'll be able to just kind of do your thing, and you've already gotten $4 to $5 million of that baseball wise. I say play baseball. I would love to see him do both. I would love to see a throwback to Bo and to Dion and to Brian Jordan and others. But if you're going to pick one, to me, pick baseball. By the way, all the 12 DAs of Christmas available on YouTube. Just search the 12 DAs of Christmas 2018, and you'll have all of them as we unveil them. That one will be up there today. When we come back, Jacob Wilkins will join us from the baseball winter meetings to tell us how his signature home run calls are going as he tries to win a job in minor league baseball play-by-play. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
You know, DA, as we all get older, you know, you look back at the young party days, those were like our wienerships. And as you get older, maybe the getaways with your friends become a little calmer. That's what yesterday felt like. It felt like a maturity experience.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The great Jacob Wilkins, the voice of the Chicken Challenge. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll have the PGP out. We'll tape it after the show today. The show about the show within the show. As always, you can download it and subscribe by going to iTunes and search Permission Granted. That's the show about the show, wherever podcasts are downloaded, also available on our website, daoncbs.com. Last night in Los Angeles, Dwayne Wade with his final appearance probably ever against LeBron James. Final regular season meeting of their career, and I got to imagine that it's not going to be Lakers and Heat in the NBA Finals this year. And so this was a big deal, Dwayne Wade hugging LeBron, and a lot of people talking about this kind of final image, this final moment between these two very close friends and guys that went to four straight NBA Finals together and won a pair of championships. I think this is interesting for two reasons. Number one, is it not totally insane? The draft class of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, retiring, old role player. Chris Bosh, not in the NBA anymore. Carmelo, desperately trying to cling on for dear life. Nobody wants him. Darko Milicic, bust out of the league for a decade. LeBron, potential NBA MVP, ripping vicious dunks on everybody and leading this entire organization. Just think about the career arc of all the other guys. I mean, Carmelo and Dwayne Wade are Hall of Famers and their career's over. LeBron's been doing this for so long, all of his contemporaries are retired. Number two, it's interesting because now in that vein, as Dwayne Wade has his final matchup potentially ever against LeBron, there's going to be final times for LeBron, which is weird to think about because LeBron still feels like he's in his prime. LeBron still is one of the greatest basketball players in the league, if not the best. And there's going to be moments that are sentimental and nostalgic because he has played so long, other guys are retiring. There's going to be lasts. We don't think of LeBron that way because he's still what we consider an MVP candidate, a guy in his prime, potentially lead a team to a championship, a guy that's been in 8 straight NBA finals. But there's going to be a series of lasts, and there will be this sentimentality just the same way there was around Dr. J, the same way there was around Kareem and the retirement tours, and a little bit less for Michael because he retired and then came back, and it was kind of ugly with the Wizards. But that's going to happen to LeBron, and we're not that far away from that because it's already starting to happen. Lasts. In Las Vegas, the baseball winter meetings are underway, and there's huge storylines. The Yankees are looking for pitching. Could they make a trade for a guy like Noah Syndergaard? Who's going to end up landing Bryce Harper and or Manny Machado, the Philadelphia Phillies, in the mix? Where does Harper land? Who's going to spend the money? All these types of things. Will Corey Kluber, former Cy Young Award winner, get traded? A lot of stuff happening at the baseball winter meetings. And that's why we have our correspondent, legendary voice of the Chicken Challenge. He has also done play-by-play for other events here on the show, like the Wienership, Jacob Wilkins in Vegas. Jacob, good morning.
Oh, good morning, DA. I love that air, that Las Vegas air.
How is the Las Vegas air right now?
Oh, it's pure. You know, I'm in an undisclosed compound, of course, deep in the Nevada desert, and you know, that's the best way really to track all these burgeoning storylines you mentioned.
Now, you're out there not really as a news gathering correspondent. You're actually out there to enhance your career. What are you doing out there?
Well, you know, the baseball winter meetings have a lot of different elements to them. Obviously, there's the major league side. There's also, really, it's a big baseball palooza. You've got the minor league baseball, not just there's a job fair that's actually run for mostly geared towards folks coming out of college, in which they're putting their names in to try to get into minor league baseball. There's players or ex-players that are looking to get back into the game. And it's really a chance for all the organization's affiliates to meet up and host parties, etc. I'm there, you know, just building relationships, saying hi to people, and, you know, that's sort of, it's, you know, as you know, and our business, obviously, networking's a big factor in it, and it's nice to mostly catch up with people that you haven't seen in a while.
Well, I've always felt like you are a primetime voice on kind of the silly sports that happen on CBS Sports Network. I think you should do bull riding. I think you should do surfing. I think you should do horses racing humans. I think all of those competitions you would be wonderful at. Have you poked around on kind of the fringe sports play-by-play aspect of things?
DA, this is such a great point by you, and obviously you've been upfront about this and ahead of the game. I actually realized when I got here yesterday that I'm at the wrong convention. At the Mandalay Bay, there's the baseball winter meetings. But if you go in a different entrance, there's the rodeo convention. And really, those are the people I should be talking to.
I would agree. And so can you find some time, carve out some time? I'm here to give you advice. Go find the rodeo people. See if you can become like the Al Michaels of rodeo.
Yes, absolutely. And I just got to buy myself a couple different looking vests, you know, than the ones maybe from Macy's. And, you know, I'll be good to go.
I think you need a bolo tie.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you.
What does it look like?
When you talk to these people in minor league baseball, are you going to try out some play-by-play calls? Because I think you need a bigger personality. Right now you're doing high school athletics, basketball, which is fine, high school football, which is fine. But if you want to make it in the bigs, I think you need a signature call and a big personality like you've shown here on the Chicken Challenge. Have you worked on any of this stuff with these people?
Well, actually, one of the things I've been pitching around to the various casino magnates here is a casino baseball league in which the casinos play against each other. So, for instance, maybe it's the Bellagio against the Luxor on a Friday night. You know, football's got the American Alliance, you know, all these different leagues. And you could have, you know, for instance, Bellagio in a deep left, cha-ching, and they're on the board in the bottom of the second.
Okay, not bad. So you want to become the voice of casino baseball.
Right.
Okay. Any other signature calls, perhaps, that that you've thrown out there that you've workshopped?
Nothing specific. You know, one of the teams, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, obviously that leaves a lot of opportunities, you know, in terms of the seafood references. But hard to, you know, have something. I haven't come up with John Sterling-esque calls around.
Can you maybe give me a Jumbo Shrimp home run call or game winner?
Well, if I must. All right. Line drive, left center field. Base hit coming around is Amendolora, a seafood platter for all tonight.
Okay. And the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp win.
A Jumbo Shrimp win, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us about this trip to Vegas?
Well, you know, it's a lot of nice weather. You know, might try to hit the slots tonight. The rodeo convention, that certainly, I really like where that's going, and the possibilities there. I think I'm going to run out and try to build, you know, relationships with those people right now.
So the best you can come up with is cha-ching and a seafood platter for everyone. That's the best you got for me.
Well, it's early in the day. Okay. You know, by 4, I'm sure I'll have a multitude of different ideas.
Okay. Jacob Wilkins, everybody, from Las Vegas, the Baseball Winter Meetings. I mean, what is that?
I am the epic fail.
Get him out. Get him out.
Get him out.
Get him out. See ya. You're toast.
How did that happen?
How did that happen?
That was, to date, the worst idea we've had on the show ever.
Might be time to learn a trade for Jacob.
Get him in a union, a plumber's union, something.
He's great calling live, silly play-by-play events for us, but in terms of being a correspondent, a disaster.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Nothing's happening for him in Vegas.
Sunday, it's a doubleheader day, and it's all about the playoffs. Miami takes on Minnesota, then a huge game with two teams fighting to win their divisions. New England collides with Pittsburgh. The day kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
On the ever-emerging CBS Sports Radio Network.
We were talking about the NFC playoff race. The Vikings right now holding down the final playoff spot at 6-6-1, despite the disaster that was last night. The Ravens are at 7-6. They hold the final playoff slot of the AFC. Really, you're talking about only one playoff slot for each because the Seahawks look like they are going to end up kind of running away with the 5 seed, the first wild card. The Chargers are certainly doing that. They're 10-3, which leaves in the AFC Ravens, Colts, Dolphins, Titans all at 7-6. I talked about this on Monday's show. I think the Ravens, despite the loss of the Chiefs, are going to be a very difficult out. Now, I know that we had Jeff Schwartz on the show yesterday, NFL analyst, former offensive lineman of the NFL. He disagrees with me. He thinks because Lamar Jackson's so limited passing-wise that the Ravens are not going to be a difficult opponent in the postseason. But the Ravens get after you. And did you see how many times they knocked down Mahomes on Sunday? They knocked him down 15 times. Mahomes pulled some rabbits out of the hat or rabbits out of his head, as Jason Witten would say. But I think that even though Lamar Jackson is limited passing-wise, the Ravens' pass rush is going to be something nobody wants to have to face. And look at how the AFC wildcard matchups could set up if it started right now. Ravens in Houston to take on the Texans. Chargers in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. And the Chargers just beat the Steelers. I could see both wildcard winners winning those games and going into the divisional round. I could see both the road teams winning those games. The Texans botched a tremendous opportunity, tremendous, on Sunday by losing to the Colts at home. Had the Texans run the table, they would have guaranteed themselves a bye because they would have had a game up on the Patriots. Instead, now they're both 9-4, and the Texans had a brilliant opportunity, and they didn't take advantage of it, and that's going to come back to ruin them. Because you know that the Texans aren't winning 3 games of the playoffs. Our toll-free line brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. Tom is in Harrisburg listening to 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, DA.
What's up, bud?
I got to trash that last segment, DA. What the hell was that?
It wasn't good. What can I tell you? It was not good. Jacob Wilkins, he didn't bring anything to the table. You want to trash him? Okay.
Stinky debris.
We'll trash him. Look, I thought Jacob was going to give us some personality there. I thought he was going to give us some signature calls. The best thing I got was cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
For a league that won't exist.
It's not even a real league.
That's a bad Jacob appearance. The guy's sullying his name.
That was pretty damn horrible.
It was awful.
And what? That's what he's given us. What is he giving to people he doesn't even know down there?
Look, we take some chances here on the DA show. Usually they're hits. Usually they're home runs. Sometimes they're not. I'm not going to stop taking chances. That's what this offense is built around. We're going to go deep. We're going to take chances and throw it all over the lot. And it's going to be exciting. But sometimes we're going to throw four interceptions. And that segment was a debacle. Let's face it. And I'm sorry. I just trusted Jacob to have more. Cha-ching, and it's a seafood platter for everyone. It was awful. It was awful. Ricky Williams joins us in studio coming up here next to talk about the Freedom Football League. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.